The reading can be found on page 1213, 1213 of your church Bible, and it's from James chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Gillis. Can you stand, please? Just got comfy, didn't you? Just before I preach, I just believe the word of God is so powerful. And I really believe that it blesses our hearts. So what I want you to do before I preach is to just go and bless somebody. However you choose to do it. Just go and bless somebody. Bless you. I know you can't get enough of being blessed, but we'll have to stop. Sit down, will you, please? How wonderful it is to be blessed, and how wonderful it is to know that we are a blessed people, blessed of God. Today's sermon is from James chapter 1. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. No. Everyone knows where I got the title from, but I'm not going to sing it. And I'm not even going to do the moonwalk. If I could. But I've called it that for a very, very good reason. But before I get into that, I want to talk just a few moments about James, the book of James, and what James is about. Because the central theme for James is new life, Christian birth, that is, growth as disciples, and also development as Christians. So his key themes are that we come to faith in Christ, but then that we don't stop there, but that we actually grow and develop as Christians. And he sees the church as an important place for this to be worked out. He recognizes that we as Christians should have Christian standards, that we should live in the world but not be of the world, as 1 John 2 and John 17 says, but that we should be in the world and we should be shaped by the word of God and respond obediently to the word of God. And just as I talk about being in the world and not of the world, I actually think this is so difficult to do. Because I think for so many of us, we think that Christians, we can only say that we're Christians and behave like Christians, either in the church or in cell group or, you know, living room or men's locker room. But what that does, it sets us apart from the world so that we have no influence in the world. And then there's others of us who go so deep into the world that we forget our Christian roots and our Christian mooring and the Christian standards. And we therefore live a double life and have double standards. And it's hard in a world which has standards different to our own. But you see, the standards are quite high because they're God's standards. So as Christians, we're called to exercise that standard in the world. Why? So that people look and see and come to faith in Christ. I don't know whether what you get excited about. Well, I'll ask you. What floats your boat? What do you get excited about? It's all right. What floats your boat? Hey? See someone else become a Christian. Okay. Does that excite anybody else apart from Iris? Just checking. James is talking about the living word of Jesus from those who were there at the time. Okay, anything else float your boat? Helping someone else, yeah? Thank you. So seeing how the word of God fits today as well as it always has done. Music that touches your soul. Okay, good stuff. Anybody else? Sorry, there's no right or wrong answer, by the way. The beauty of nature. Okay, all these things float our boat are important. I don't know why now I got onto that, to be perfectly honest, but I'll come back. All good things. Oh, I know what it is. It's to do with Christian standards. But then, because we are in the world, we're called to look and to act and to be different. All these things float our boat and are really, really important. But the most important thing that should float our boat is God and his standard and how we live that out. And James is so concerned and he wants to encourage the church to live it out in a good way. As Matthew puts it, being salt and light. Being salt and light in a world which needs it. And James picks up, I'm going to pick up three things. He speaks about the miracle of new birth. He speaks about being slow to speak, quick to listen, and then obeying the word of God. He talks in verses 17 and 18 about the miracle of new birth. We just had a new grandson, and for those of you that don't know, he was born on the 21st of August. And he, 21st of August, this year. You did. And he was born on the 21st of the 8th, this is what I'm trying to remember, at 21:08. And he's £8.07, and his name is Jacob Emmanuel. And we've seen him. And the miracle of new birth is wonderful. And you know what? And I'm not biased at all, but he looks wonderful. He's the most gorgeous baby there's ever been, except Noah, who's his brother. I have to be careful because I guess it's been taped, recorded. But the miracle of new birth, and you've spoken, some of you have spoken about the miracle of new birth, someone becoming a Christian. And that's for me, it is a miracle. And I know that so often in the church, we get hung up on miracles, and we talk about physical miracles and, you know, and healings, which are all wonderful, and I'm not going to dispute that at all. And I love to see people healed. I love to see people set free. But actually, the greatest miracle that could ever happen is that someone comes to faith. That is the greatest miracle. And the wonderful thing is about this miracle is, James calls it, it's a gift from God. It's a precious gift from God that we can't earn, that we haven't deserved. But God in his amazing love, and James wants to just remind us about God's amazing love, which gives us this miracle of new birth. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So he gives us a new birth. Why? That we might be a kind of first fruits of all creation. Now, I wasn't going to talk about this now. I was going to talk about it later, but I want to talk about it now. When it says first fruits, what does it mean when it says first fruits? I'm just going to keep walking until somebody answers. So I could get very slim by the time I finished. Eh? Sacrifice, okay. The best. First fruits is the best. Yeah, go for it. First crop, yes, thank you. It's all those things, and it's the first crop, so it's the first of many. We were just debating the other day, we were just talking in our home, that Jesus died and was on the earth 2,000 years ago, roughly, wasn't he? Roughly. Now, isn't it wonderful that Christian story is still going strong? Who would have thought it from those 12 people, men that Jesus chose, who would have thought it that now billions and billions of people have become Christians? And I guess what I want to say about this is that I think so often we read this thing, first fruits, I can't even say it, first fruits, and we read it and forget what our mission and what our calling is. Because it's very nice that we've been blessed and touched by God. It's very nice that God has given us a gift. It's very nice that God loves us. But what about our friends? What about our neighbours? What about the communities that we live in? Do they not need Jesus as well? Now, who's going to tell them? Who said that? Just stand up, will you? Just stand up. Come on, just turn round. Just turn round. These two brave people said them, right? Are they special? Why are they special? Because what? Because we're all so all right, okay. Because we're all special. But don't they look anything special? Oh, sorry, no disrespect. No, got to be careful. You can sit down. Walking on really thin ice. What I'm trying to say, they're ordinary people who've just said yes to Jesus. Yes, they look wonderful. Yes, they are so special, but they're ordinary people who've just said yes to Jesus. That's what it is. And it's being willing, available, saying yes to Jesus. And it's recognizing, it's having that heart, and that's why James starts there. It's recognizing all that God has done for us. That's what it is. And we're in the light and knowledge of recognizing all that God has done for us. How can we keep silent? How can we stay still? Thank you. We can't. Some more than others. Okay, let's get real. I'll tell you what I've said what I've just said, because so often people look, and they look at people like me, and they say, all right, it's easy for you. You've got a dog collar, you've had the training, you're this, that, and the other. Well, the truth is, I'm not. I'm none of those things. Yeah, I've got the dog collar. Ask anybody who really knows me. Ask anybody who knew me, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. Shy? All right, okay. I'll say it again. Hello. Shy, wouldn't say boo to a goose. The first time I went out for a meal in a pub was with Jeanette and a load of other people who were training as radiographers. And this is a true story. We were sat on a table in a pub, and I ordered steak. First time I'd had steak out. And I cut into my steak, and the plate fell off the table into my lap. Now, given how shy and nervous I was, I just sat there. I sat there and waited, because I was so mortified, because it was the first time I'd been out, you know, eating with other people. I was mortified. That's how shy I was. I was scared of my own shadow. And I was scared of death. So don't anybody tell me it's, what am I doing that for? Feel like Beyonce or something. dear. Don't anybody tell me how difficult it is. Don't anybody tell me that you can't do it. Don't anybody tell me that if you put your hands in God's hands, he won't cause you to do stuff that you never thought you could do. Because here's living proof. And yes, there's times when I don't want to do it. There's times when I'm feeling scared. Most of the time, no. There is. But in the hands of God. And we've got the greatest story that ever needs to be told. So let's tell it. James also says, slow to speak, quick to listen. The trouble with being a talker and talking a lot is actually that you never spend time to listen. And also what it does as well is it means that we always think we're right because we're so busy talking that you never listen. You don't listen to God, you don't listen to the word of God, and don't listen to the shaping of other people. Psalm 46, verse 10 says this: "Be still and know that I am God." It says it for a reason. Be still and know that God is God. Allow the word of God not just to think it's nice. I'm jumping ahead of myself. It also says that we're not to be quick to speak, but we should listen, but also that we shouldn't continue to be angry. What happens is we speak all the time and think we're right. Anger and resentment builds up in us, and what happens is that we cannot hear the word of God and we cannot hear the truth. So what happens is that when we hear God's word and we hear the truth from a preacher or from God's word or wherever, what we think is automatically in our spirit, I'm all right. This is for everybody else, but not me. Because I'm all right. Every year we go to New Wine, and when we come back, we're always asked the same thing. Did you have a good time? And I think people think, you know, what it means is, because it's a great celebration, so I have to do this. It's a great celebration. It's wonderful worship, wonderful teaching, great speakers. And here's the truth. Every year you come back from New Wine, when I come back from New Wine, I'm challenged. I am totally challenged by what I've heard, by what God has said to me. Because the third thing that James says is obey the word of God. That's what he says. If I could find my notes, that would be really helpful. If I could even understand them, that would be really helpful. Oh, it's just... What he says is that we need to obey the word of God. And it says, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and to deceive yourselves. That's interesting that it's equating listening to the word with deceiving yourselves. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after that, looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I mean, men, just stick your hands up, men. Just the men. Some of you aren't sure. Come on. It's not a trick question. Who's a man here? Okay, men, keep your hands up if you shave. The men that shave, keep your hands up. Okay. Yes, you do. You've not got a beard, have you? So how many times, men, do you look in the mirror in a day? You don't look in the mirror and you shave. Seriously? That was going to be my really good illustration. You don't look in the mirror to shave. I have to look in the mirror. You can put your hands down. I have to look in the mirror at least twice a day to shave. And I'm sure you women look in the mirror as well, don't you? Yes. Not no, I didn't say that. I never said that. It's a shame. I never said that. But the thing is, whether I like it or not, I know what I look like. And every single day I look in the mirror, I get horrified. I'll tell you why I get horrified, because every day when I look in the mirror, I get more and more like my dad. No disrespect to my dad, and especially when I don't cut my hair. I think I'm turning into my dad. I've got no opportunities to forget what I look like. Sometimes I wish I could. But you don't. And what James is saying here is that if you just receive the word of God, as good as it is, if you read the word of God, even if you meditate on the word of God and do nothing about it, you're deceiving yourself. Because you're actually believing that you're applying it, and the truth is you're not. And it's great to go to New Wine and hear all these wonderful speakers and say, oh, that was a wonderful talk. I'll even get it on CD, DVD, MP3, whatever. And you come back and you listen to it again. Oh, that was really good. I got excited. I got titillated. Oh, wonderful speaker. Great. Wonderful sermon this morning. I'll watch it and listen to it on iTunes, whatever. But if you don't do anything about it, we have deceived ourselves. Because what James is saying here is, we need to listen to the word and then do it. That's a true believer. That's a true follower of Christ. And yes, we can cut and paste the Bible, because we're all good at doing that. And we can say it doesn't apply to us, but the truth of it, it does. And whether I like it or not, it applies to me. And it applies to every area of my life. And God wants to get hold of every area of Everton William MacLeod's life and transform it by the word of God through his son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why does he want to do that? Because he wants me to be the best that I can be for him, so that I can shine for him, so that others will see and know how great God is. Hallelujah. Thank you. That was muffled. So I want to encourage us today, the best way that I can. Not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. And James goes on to say, he says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, woo, it was so important to bless people before I spoke. Because that's what the tongue does, you see. The tongue can bless or the tongue can curse, can't it? Would you rather be blessed or cursed? Oh, you would. So let's bless each other. Rather than the other. And we need to keep a tight rein on our tongue. He deceives himself, it says. It goes on to say, and his religion is worthless. That means it's worth nothing. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure, this is what we want, and faultless is this. And James gives a particular outworking in his context. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. What he's saying is, you've heard it, you've read it, put it into practice. Go and look after the orphans and widows. Go and look after those who are in need. Go and share the gospel with those who need it. Go and speak to your neighbour. You know, often when I talk about speaking about, talking to your neighbour, people automatically tell me, rightly, that everybody stays in their own house, because that's what we do, don't we? It's not as though you look over the fence very often or whatever. But there's ways round it, isn't there? Go and knock on your neighbour's door. It's not rocket science, is it? Or are we just going to pray for them to peep over the fence one day and keep praying, oh God, I've prayed for 40 years that they peek over the fence so that I can speak to them. And God's saying, knock on their door, then you can speak to them. What I'm trying to say is we complicate it and we make it so difficult, and it isn't. Hear the word, put it into practice. I spent 2 years training to be a radiographer. A lot of it was theoretical training, a lot was practical training. But at the end of the 2 years, I was qualified. And I was qualified to take x-rays. So presumably, if you're a radiographer, what do? Oh, well done, it's not rocket science. If you're a Christian, you follow Jesus and you tell others. Not rocket science. But the thing is, and I want to rewind, we have to have open hearts to receive the word of truth. We have to stop speaking so much and listen. We have to get rid of anger, bitterness, filth, all the other stuff. So that we can receive the word of truth. That's quite difficult because it's humbling. It means submitting. It means actually submitting to God and saying to God, God, you love me and you've saved me. My life is no longer my own. My life is yours. Do with it whatever you want to do for your glory and honour. That's the call on our hearts. That's the call on our hearts. So Father, may we be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. May we live as salt and light, not living by the world's standards any longer, but living by your standards. Father, may we not compromise godly standards. May we learn continually to do the right thing and not water it down. Father, and I pray, just as the passage said, that these are the first fruits, that there would be a rich harvest of souls coming to know you for your glory and honour. Amen.